From the heartland of America, the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. We'll have a full hour of open lines for you this hour, next hour, for the rest of the program. First, they're going to implant chips in animals, and then maybe you. Get ready for this one. While it's still rough around Texas, stiff winds swept across the dry Texas landscape, challenging firefighters already tired, weary from 3 days of battling wildfires that have blackened 840,000 acres and killed 11 people, and also 10,000 cows and horses feared dead across the smoking landscape. They need some rain. They say there's a 40% chance of rain this weekend, but it won't hit them before Friday, and they need it now. In Hawaii, searchers with dogs looked for bodies in the mud and debris after a break in a century-old earthen dam released a roaring, tree-snapping torrent of rain and raised fears about the safety of dozens of similar dams across Hawaii. The dam collapsed before dawn on Tuesday after days of heavy rain swelled the Koloko Reservoir behind it. The water swept away houses, some of them worth well over $2 million, in the island's rugged hills. They have found so far one body. They're looking for six others at least. A very strange story with a geologist who believes that Africa is going to split apart. They say normally new rivers, seas, and mountains are born in very slow motion. The Afar Triangle near the Horn of Africa is already another story. A new ocean, they say, is forming there with staggering speed, at least by geological standards. Africa, they say, will eventually lose its horn. A geologist and his colleagues from Addis Ababa University, simply amazed and frightened. Now listen to this story. They had only just stepped out of their helicopter onto the desert plains of central Ethiopia when the ground beneath them began to shake. The pilot shouted for the scientist to get back immediately into the helicopter, and then it happened. The earth split open. Crevices began racing toward the researchers like a zipper opening up, and after a few seconds, the ground stopped moving, and after they recovered from their shock, the geologists realized that they had just witnessed history. For the first time ever, human beings were able to witness the first stages in the birth of an ocean. This is a story that we're going to monitor in the not-too-distant future because it is happening. Just when it will occur, of course, they do not know. But they do say that it is the beginning of the forming of a new ocean that could split Africa. Consider the source here. But a Russian Communist Party leader, yes, they still have them there, has blamed the United States for the spread of an avian influenza or the bird flu. He said because it's in European countries and not in America. He said the forms of warfare are changing. It's strange that not a single duck has yet died in America, yet they're dying in Russia, in European countries. It makes one seriously wonder why. He went on to say that, well, does he believe that the bird flu outbreak could be a deliberate attack by the United States? He said, I not only suggest this, I know very well how this can be arranged. There is nothing strange here. And again, consider the source. It's from a Communist Party leader in Russia. Sirhan Sirhan, who shot Robert F. Kennedy to death in 1968, has been denied parole again for the 13th time since his conviction. Well, according to hearing spokesperson Tip Kindell, Sirhan is very hostile, he hates Americans, and he continues to pose a risk to public safety. Sirhan did not attend the hearing. Saddam Hussein testifying for the first time now in his trial, this is where he's now in his testifying stage, called on Iraqis to stop killing each other and instead fight the United States troops. The judge reprimanded him for making a rambling political speech and ordered all television cameras switched off. Saddam began his speech by declaring that he was the elected president, touching off a shouting match with the chief judge, who yelled back to Saddam, "You used to be a head of state, you're a defendant now." In Culver City, California, a man and a woman were arguing in a car when one of them steered the vehicle onto a sidewalk, striking and killing a teacher, injuring seven young students leaving school. Police identified the teacher as a woman who worked at the Turning Point School, a private school that enrolls students from kindergarten through the eighth grade. And in Texas, the reigning Miss Deaf Texas, who was killed by a train, was apparently text messaging her parents and friends on her cell phone as she walked near the tracks and might have been distracted, according to police. 18-year-old Tara McAvoy was walking about a foot away from the Union Pacific Railroad tracks. She had typed a message to her parents, both of whom are also hearing impaired, letting them know that she was walking alongside the tracks from her home to her mother's workplace. A few minutes later, she was struck by the snowplow on the front of a 65-foot Union Pacific train, which authorities say extended 16 inches on both sides of the tracks. She died at the scene. Scientists have been able to extract precious information from the smashed remains of the Genesis space capsule. Now, you might want to remember that this one crashed into the Utah desert in 2004 when the parachute failed to open. It was carrying particles blown off by the sun. Well, now these scientists say that they have been able to retrieve about half of the samples. The precise nature of the atoms in the solar wind will tell scientists how our star and the nine major planets grew out of the huge cloud of gas and dust known as the Solar Nebula more than 4.5 billion years ago. In London, Dan Brown returned to the witness stand and acknowledged reworking passages from an earlier book for his best-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code, but he firmly rejected charges that he ripped off key ideas for his conspiracy thriller. The author spent a third day defending his work against a copyright infringement suit brought by the authors of a 1982 nonfiction book, The Holy Blood and Holy Grail, which didn't sell that many copies. The suit is now not against Brown, but his publisher, Random House, which also published The Holy Blood and Holy Grail book. And a Japanese-led research team said that it has now made a seeing, hearing, and smelling robot that can carry human beings and is aimed at helping care for the country's growing number of elderly. Straight out of a Twilight Zone movie, the government-backed research institute Rankin said that the 5-foot humanoid can already carry a doll weighing 26 pounds and soon would be capable of bearing 150 pounds within 5 years. Japan is bracing for a major increase in needs for elderly care due to a declining birth rate and a population that is among the world's longest living. So they think the robot will be able to help out. Open lines. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line is open for you now at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, back with your open line calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, and welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Don't forget, at the top of the hour, Catherine Albrecht will be our guest with two other people, and we're going to talk about what's happening with the mandating of chips in animals, and how soon will it be before they do it to us. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing tonight?
Good, not bad. How about you?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. I was just wondering if I could get your opinion on something.
Well, I'll do the best I can for you.
I was just wondering, you know, with the millions of people in this world starving to death and homeless, and I was wondering if you could explain to me why we should keep spending billions of dollars trying to figure out whether there's life on Mars or on other planets. It just doesn't make sense to me.
You know, I know it's difficult to reason and rationale with so many things that we're spending money on this planet. And you're right, with people hungry and starving. When it comes to space, though, I think we need to explore, because one day that may be the place where mankind has got to get up and leave in order to save this civilization, or at least a number of people here. But there are other ways that we could be spending our money, I think, and try to justify saving people from starving. You're right about that, and you can't argue with that, and I can't give you, really, the right answer at this time. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
Okay, sir, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to know what the secrets of Fantoma were.
What? Well, they only really reveal two. Now, they say that they revealed three, but I'm still not so sure about that. The third that they said they revealed had to do with the Pope and that he was going to get shot. Some also believe that the secret was that we will have two more popes after Pope John Paul had passed away, and then religion, the Catholic religion, would change dramatically. The other ones talked about war and the consecration of Russia, that they would become very religious and spiritual. My question to you is how did you hear about Fatima if you didn't know about the three? I'm curious.
When they had a person on there, he was a self-proclaimed Lucifer.
Oh, yeah, that was Aaron Donahue, yeah.
Yeah, okay. He was saying what mankind was supposed to be the children of Satan or something.
Well, what I suggest you do is, if you have a computer, is just go and search for Fatima. And you'll find out what happened back in the 1900s in Portugal. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. Yeah. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
You know, that guy was talking about high-tech stuff earlier. My girlfriend got me a coffee cup with a chip in it. With my left hand, it's just like a regular coffee cup. If I drink it with my right hand, well, then the chip will cut my lip.
Yeah.
But I found out some great news about John Titor. You remember how John Titor said that in 2005, beginning in 2006, CERN laboratories would invent a black hole?
Yeah, well, he was talking about the CERN, C-E-R-N, which is in Switzerland.
Right.
Okay.
And, well, yesterday I was reading a popular science magazine from January 2006. On the front cover, it says homemade black holes. And inside, in the middle of the magazine, they have a story about CERN Large Hadron Collider, and they've used it to create black holes, and they only exist for, a split second.
See, the big question is did John Titor, the guy who was posting on the Internet, did he know about this by maybe reading a story a long time ago, or is the guy truly a time traveler? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm putting it to the test. I have sent myself a message on the Internet telling myself to meet me tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
And if you don't, you know?
And if I don't, well, then I either didn't live that long or there are no time machines.
All right. Well, you check in with us on our next open lines and let us know what happened to you. Next up, our next wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Donovan.
Hey, Don. There you are somewhere. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm cruising down in Kentucky right now, about to get to Tennessee here in about another 30 minutes or so.
Great. What's up?
I want to give you a call and have to give kudos to Evelyn Paglini. The other day she was on with Art, and she had said something about dams bursting. And then just, I guess, a day or two later, they had that dam burst there in Hawaii, which I thought was kind of bizarre.
And more may happen. You're right.
Yeah. But you're going to have the RFID tag tonight, correct?
Just in about 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. I heard something on another talk show, and they were saying that that RFID tag now can carry a virus that can be able to corrupt the system, which would be able to send the information back to an RFID tag. Now, I haven't been able to follow this up on any, myself to be able to see if it's true or not, but I thought it was kind of interesting this other talk show person was talking about it.
It is true. It's a story that broke about a month and a half ago, and we're going to be talking with Catherine Albrecht about that. It could be one of those quirks in this entire system, and it could render it useless if it's very effective.
Well, hopefully so. That way they won't want to put them in us, huh?
Well, they'll still want to put them in us.
That's true. Well, you have a good night, George.
Okay, appreciate you, and be careful on the road. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing fine. Go ahead.
Good. I have something about black holes I want to throw at you. And, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about them, but I was fishing one day, and along the side of the bank, as the water hit, solid, it makes little swirls. And then I saw in the air a gust of wind pick up some leaves and swirl them around. And I can't see the air, but I can see the effects of it. I can see the leaves in a swirling motion. And I'm wondering, or hypothesizing, that space is actually fluid. It's a fluid, and these black holes are merely the result of space rubbing up against a theoretical river bank, or
like a vortex of a wind or something like that.
Yeah, just like that. And they don't necessarily really go anywhere, because where does the vortex in the wind go? You know, it's there. It may be an inch deep. It may be a mile long. It doesn't really go anywhere. But it has an effect, and we can see that because of things being caught up in it. It's an energy.
Well, they've said that these black holes formed when matter collapsed within itself. But I'm at the point now where I'm beginning to believe some other theories that say that they might be portals or tunnels to other universes.
It could be. It could just be a current. The current caused by the rotations of galaxies and whatnot.
Well, your theory is as good as anybody else's right now. Let's go to our next call. You're on the air. Hi there.
George, it's Mike from Wisconsin. How are you?
Fine, Mike. Go ahead.
George, I particularly enjoy it when you have all government conspiracy type themes on your show.
How come?
I don't know. It's maybe just something I'm interested in because I believe in a lot of them. But I heard you mention the news story about Sirhan. And I remember at first, didn't he claim that, and there's no doubt that he did it because it was on TV, but didn't he claim that he had no memory?
Yes, he still does. He says he has no recollection of what he did, has no recollection of even being there. Some people have theorized that he was almost like the movie The Manchurian Candidate, where he was hypnotized by some group to go and do what he did. Others have theorized that one of the security guards there pulled a gun too. I think Sirhan was there. I think Sirhan did it. I don't know whether there was a conspiracy behind him or not, but I think he's as guilty as sin.
Well, we know that he did it, but I am more curious about the fact that he had always claimed he had no memory of it, and that possibly that there was some sort of a conspiracy, but you never read about him or hear anything about him unless he comes up for parole, and of course we know what his chances of getting out are. But I think that would be an interesting topic.
Here's the problem with him. He's an assassin. Why would we believe anything he would say?
What has he got to lose by telling the truth?
Well, but some of these people are pathological. I mean, they just, he's a murderer. And, some of these people will say whatever they have to say.
I suppose there is that. But I do really enjoy your show and look forward to it every evening. I really do.
I appreciate it. And we'll continue doing a lot of those programs as well. I mean, if you've ever been to a prison to talk to prisoners, most of them, if not all of them, say they're innocent. They all say that. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Justin from Oshawa, Ontario.
Hi, Justin. What's up?
Hey, I was just going to do an Alex Jones impression for you.
You can do an Alex Jones impression?
I can do my best. Some days I'm better than others, but...
Now, do you do this for a living?
No, that would be great, though.
All right, well, why don't you give me your smaller version of Alex Jones?
All right. Hi, George. Nice to talk to you. I'd just like to say I read in Boston Globe, the Illuminati, they all suffer from LDS.
Justin, I think you got a little more work on that one.
Some days are better than others.
Yeah, you have to be a little more gravelly. But the next time we have Alex Jones on, call and we'll compare your voice to his. But I think you got a ways to go there. If you need to email me, just very simply, it's george@coasttocoastam.com, the Coast website, always available to you. Take a look at some of the stories that Lex has just posted up there for you. By the way, under Hot Stories, you will enjoy them thoroughly. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've all talked about missing time, 10 minutes, half hour. We had a truck driver call in once. He was missing hours. He'd gotten from point A to point B, 150 miles, had no idea how he did that. But here's the strangest one. Tom writes us that he misses just minutes. As a matter of fact, he said in one case, he put a coffee cup in a microwave oven, set it at 1 minute, turned it on, and he left. Came back, he said, it was like it was on for 2 minutes, maybe even longer. Where did the time go? Tom, I think you got a problem with your microwave, to tell you the truth. Hey, the After Dark newsletter, the April edition, includes a major interview with Alex Jones. And you'll also get 14 issues for the price of 12 with After Dark. So call 1-888-727-5505, or you can just go online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Open Lines. I'm George Norrie, and let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Hello. Ginny from Florida.
Hi, Ginny. You sound like Sylvia Brown or
That's
Evelyn Paglini.
Yeah. Last time I called.
As a matter of fact, you sound more like them now than ever.
Well, I called to talk about Dr. Turi's prediction.
His big one, his March 13th prediction?
Yes, and which I guess in some ways I'm kind of glad nothing did happen. Major.
Well, I think something did happen. He said this was going to be major negative energy, and yeah. On that weekend, 13th was Monday, I gave him a couple days, plus or minus, we had 113 tornadoes in the Midwest.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that, because I wrote down, I watched the TV show, and I had made I had written some of his dates specifically on my calendar. And one of them was the 11th of February. And there was that was the major northeast snowstorm.
Right.
And I wondered about that. I was trying to remember, were those fires in Texas and the tornadoes that day of the 13th?
That's a good point, because the fires did start a few days ago as well. See, with Dr. Turi, he doesn't know precisely what the event will be. He only knows that there's going to be negative issues, whether it be earth changes, weather-related, or man-made disasters. But he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. But he predicts the dates, and he's been pretty accurate with that.
Okay, well, what one thing I did notice when you had the psychics on your radio show, one of them, Robert Camp?
Robert Camp, who plays with, he calls them destiny cards.
Okay, yeah. Well, I loved what his comments were. It said, beginning January 31st, President Bush will face a very negative karma period that could have serious consequences for him. And another one, Joseph Jacobs. Between January 31st and March 23rd, there will be changes in the Bush administration. And what are they talking about today?
Well, that's right. Changes in the old administration.
Yeah.
You're right. Hey, so some of these psychics are pretty right on.
I thought it was. I just wanted to check back in on this.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate you being there. I'm convinced she's got to be related to them. Either Evelyn or Sylvia. There's no doubt about that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mark in Salt Lake.
Hey, Mark. What's going on there?
Not a whole lot. Just surviving some of the snowstorms rolling through here. We're getting some pretty good snow.
Long overdue, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The last 2 years we've had more than average snow that's really helping us out, because we've been kind of coming out of a drought. So it's well needed. I appreciate it, except when I'm on my way to work. But
yeah,
can't predict the weather. And I had a comment about an email that you received. I've been trying to get through for a couple of months, and I hope you remember the email. It was one from a gentleman that said that his dad owned a car dealership, and he knew of a device that you could put on an automobile carburetor that would increase the gas mileage.
Yes, it was just tremendous. And then the guy disappeared, and with it went that device.
Yeah, and I just kind of had a comment, because I've had a long Well, I can't really say it's long, but probably 10 years in the automotive industry, and I've got a degree in automotive engineering, and there wasn't anything that I could think of that it would increase automobile efficiency that you could put on the carburetor and or the injection system. The only way that, you know, being a, you know, having a physics background also, that you could increase the gas mileage of an internal combustion engine was to increase the compression ratio, or how the volume of the compression of the gas air mixture in the cylinder, and to extract the potential energy out of the fuel.
What do you think of a formula of acetone in premium fuel? Because we've had guests on who say that it works. 2.5 ounces to 10 gallons of premium, and you increase your gas mileage.
Well, I haven't seen anything on that. The only thing that I can really say about that I would know of is that just the body or the basics of an internal combustion engine, regardless of the fuel, the only way you could really increase the efficiency is one with, you know, the compressibility of the fuel, and then also somehow trying to control the amount of energy that is lost through heat, through the radiator, and then also through the exhaust. So I'd have to see how the potential energy of the fuel, and then how much energy you're actually getting in output, and then try to figure it from there. But as far as burning a fuel through an automobile engine, it's only about 28% efficient. And the only way you can get it higher that I've ever seen is to compress the fuel air more, because scientists have pretty much got down the ratio of air to fuel.
Yeah, almost so, as low as it's going to go. Have you noticed, by the way, how the EPA is slowly starting to relax some of its emissions rules? I wonder why they're doing that after being so tough about it a few years ago. That's kind of interesting. Also, MTBEs, that chemical that they put in fuel, they're going to slowly start pushing that out as well. First, which is good, because that causes cancer, believe it or not, when it's leaking into the water system. First-time caller line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George?
Yeah, hi. Go ahead. You're on.
I wanted to talk to you about how to increase your... Sorry, it's the first time calling. A little nervous.
No, sorry. Increase my what?
Increase your deja vu.
Well, now, what do you mean by increase my deja vu? So I could have more events like that?
That's correct.
How do I do that?
Well, it happened for me when I was younger, in my teenage years, that I would have deja vu almost maybe once a month. And I didn't strike upon it until around 10 years later that was what I was doing. Was what you got to do is stay awake for a long time. 24 hours is the minimum.
And then stay awake for 24 hours? All right, yeah. Go ahead. This better be worth it, huh?
Yeah, I think what it does is it breaks down the shielding, or I'm not sure, you know, lowers some resistance. And what you got to do is when you go to bed, you have to visualize, like actually pretend that you're seeing in real life, like your eyes are open, like a TV screen or, mm-hmm. you know, something. And I haven't been able to... get whole pictures, but I can see, like as if I was looking out of my without my eyes closed.
Well, you see what I think you're doing though is because you're awake for 24 hours, we turn into zombies, and then we start remembering things that we would probably already have done.
Maybe
that's what's happening.
But my deja vu's increased by 3 or 4 times a month.
Okay. All right. So what? How have you been able to use this in your life, though? What have you done with it?
The problem I see is I can't, because I'm so tired, I fall asleep, you know? And it just shocks me every time I do it. I guess I have to train some more so that I can remember.
You're going to have to, I think what's happening is you're staying awake so long, you become a zombie, and you are remembering things. You think it's deja vu. It's not. You've already done these things. It's just that you're so exhausted, you can't remember you did them. Then you think you did them, and you think it's all deja vu. Be careful. You don't want to stay awake that long. Next up, East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George, hi. This is Mike, and I'm outside of Chicago. How are you tonight?
Sure. Good, Mike. Thanks.
Good. I got a couple of very, very important things to just mention to you quickly. One, a traditional mafia rub-out is a bullet to the back of the head. Bobby Kennedy was shot in the back of the head, directly behind the right ear, and three times underneath the right arm. Sirhan never, ever, ever stood behind him. If you look at any film or videotape or even still pictures of Bobby after he was wounded, you'll see blood gushing from behind his right ear. And number two, there is a photograph that exists that was taken across the street from the grassy knoll at the time John Kennedy was killed, called the Altgeld photograph. If you blow it up many, many times, standing on the sidewalk in front of the school book depository at the time of the assassination was Lee Harvey Oswald. He was not even inside the building.
Well, let's get back to both of them, first of all. Do you think Sirhan had anything to do with that assassination of Robert F.?
He was a patsy. I'm convinced of that.
All right. And then back to... You think he was just there, hypnotized, and to be there, and was not a shooter?
Exactly. Whoever had this all set up knew that the public is going to demand an explanation. There was a certified patsy right there. And there was far more shots fired than his gun could have fired.
Okay, I think he did that. Now, as back to John F. Kennedy, however, I kind of believe that there was indeed a conspiracy to do him in. I always thought that Oswald was a part of it, but I'm not necessarily sure Oswald was the lone shooter. And was he indeed a patsy all by himself? Maybe he didn't even know what was going to happen. They just had been setting him up all these years. That's possible.
Absolutely, because Carlos Marcello was from New Orleans, and so was Oswald was from New Orleans. Marcello controlled the Dallas Mafia, and he was also paying off Lyndon Johnson. He controlled Lyndon Johnson, J. Edgar Hoover, many important people. His name was Carlos Marcello. And they set him up, just knocked him down 2 days later.
You know, and the problem with all this is, with all those files still sealed, we're really never going to get to the truth until they open them up. And then maybe even then, we really won't know whatever happened. It was a horrible cloud in this nation's history, and I think it still continues to plague us to this day. Because ever since that occurred, most Americans have decided to distrust government, right or wrong. But the confidence is gone. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. It is your turn. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. It sure is.
Oh, okay. Well, Jim in southwestern Colorado. And I just wanted to tell you, don't do any of the acetone. I tried that, and with aluminum engines, it'll blow the head gasket.
What formula did you use?
Well, 2.5 ounces to each 10 gallons of gas, and it eats the head gasket, and they're so narrow now because, you know, have you ever taken the head off an engine and now?
Well, and no, I haven't done that since my days in high school when we had auto shop.
You know, it used to be like flat with the cylinder holes there, but now there's a little ring around the edge, and it's just like the cylinder goes right down in there, and then it's a real thin, almost like a sleeve, you know? And then your head gasket is just a very narrow little place. And what it does is eats on that because it's acid. And, boy, it blew the engine in a hurry. It blew all the antifreeze out and just burnt the engine up.
That's weird. That's the first I've ever heard about that.
Well, I asked the guy, the mechanic, and he said, well, he's seen a few of them.
What was your gasket made out of? Rubber?
No, it's just the regular head gaskets, you know, that are
asbestos
in,
or whatever.
In this was a 95 Honda Passport, and it had low miles, and I was lucky. The guy found me an engine that 10,000 miles and put it in and did a really good job. But
okay, well, I'm glad you got that fixed, but I know that's the first I've ever heard of that. Wildcard line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Steve from St. Louis, listening to you on a station you used to be on here.
KTRS.
That's it, yeah. Good to talk to you, George.
You too, Steve. You were
talking about microchips a little earlier, and of course, microchips can be a wonderful thing. They have lots of applications. We all know that. But there's a sinister activity going on right now involving microchips, implantation of thousands of people, and others, and also exposure to dangerous and even deadly energy weapons in the name of experimentation going on right now within the United States. And the media, the mainstream media, will not break this story, and they will not cover it.
Now, tell me a little bit about this test on humans. Where's it being conducted?
Apparently, it's going on all over the country, and it's being done very secretly, very surreptitiously. Victims are
these volunteers?
No. This is being done to defenseless men and women without either their knowledge or their permission.
How are they implanting these chips?
Well, apparently, they have. Several different methodologies for that, but they can do it. The big part of this is, though, is not so much the fact that chips are in people, and they have many people have actually located these chips, and they've shown them even being removed. But there's also a large number of people that are being exposed to microwave and others very, very deadly forms of energy at high enough intensities to carry out these experiments, and it's making, according to a lot of the research that's been done on this, there's people who are getting sick, their immune systems are being destroyed, they're having all kinds of difficulties with their health, and possibly this has killed people already.
Who is conducting the tests?
Well, according to my research on numerous websites, and there are some very credible researchers, scientists, and even former high-ranking military and government people who have come out and talked about this. And even Senator John Glenn, before his passing away, tried to go before the Senate and get legislation to prohibit this specifically and safeguard people's rights to life and liberty. But these are apparently organizations that have some kind of connection with the military or the government, and they're carrying out these experiments because of loopholes in the law.
Okay, I will definitely ask our guest, Catherine Albrecht, that about these tests, because I had not heard about that. The microwaving, we've always had a lot of calls from people who think that they're being microwaved by whom we do not know. Let's go to our wild card card. I've got about a minute left for you. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Nathaniel calling from Ontario, Canada.
Great.
Comment about our past guest, Coach Bob.
Yes.
Just wanted to say it was very uplifting, very positive to listen to him. A book that I've really taken on as my beliefs in this crazy world is The Four Agreements, and it's goes back to the Toltec. And I was wondering if you have ever heard of that, the Toltec there.
I have not.
You have not?
It's, no, I have not.
Oh, how could I quickly bring it up? They were known throughout southern Mexico as women and men of knowledge thousands of years ago, and their four agreements basically in life: be impeccable with your word, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, always do your best. The things that Coach Bob was saying just fit so perfectly into those agreements that I'm now trying to live my life by. And when you really read the book and get into it, it's like you said, it's all like your life is what you make it, and to like think positive, it is extremely hard.
You got it. Got to run. Thanks. Appreciate it. By the way, that caller before said John Glenn before he passed away. I don't think John Glenn is dead at all. I think he's like 85 years old, but I'm pretty sure he's still alive. I'm sure he is.